begin with a prayer. Divine Mother, Heavenly Father, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Paramahansa Yogananda, Saints of all religions, humbly we bow at thy feet. Divine Mother, show us the power of your love. Help us to act in attunement with your will, that we may share your joy and light with all whom we meet, helping each soul to move closer to their home in thee. Om. Peace. Amen. Good morning and welcome, everyone. This is our second episode together, talking about urban renunciation, the urban renunciate, where we will be exploring the ways that the divine is dancing through our modern culture, through pop culture, through experiences and experiences of mass consciousness and news articles, things that we see happening in the world, really looking at the ways that we, as students of yoga and as students of the path of self-realization, can find the divine in every moment and apply these yogic teachings in our daily lives. I wanted to share an experience, or rather, I wanted to share a podcast that I was listening to about a week ago. And in this podcast, there was a young woman. She is an activist working in the field of domestic workers. So she's working to help support the rights of domestic workers, people who are working as live-in housekeepers and nannies and elder care workers. And this podcast was exploring her journey from the time that she was a young woman in college up to where she is now. She's in her mid-40s. And just that process of what it was like for her to understand her calling in life, to identify with her her role as an activist, and to do the work that she's doing in the world. And the podcast has a spiritual tinge to it. So the host is always asking, how does spirituality feed into your practice? How has spirituality guided you along the steps that you've taken in your life to get to the place that you are now? And she was talking a lot about the revolutionization of caring and what that means in the world, how caring can look different, and it's going to continue to evolve and look different throughout the changes that we see in our society. She was talking about how there's a growing population of people who are older, and so the dynamics of the way that we're living, that's all going to change, and families are going to become more insular. You'll see multi-generational homes, just really beautiful things that she was talking about and advocating for, experiences that she had lived through in her own life in a multi-generational home. And just the joy and the strength that can come from the learning in that process. One of the things that stood out to me when she was speaking, again, her role being to support an activist's agenda, she was talking about how to ignite change. And because the foundation of her philosophy is grounded in care and compassion, she said that for her and for the people that she works with, her life's work is supporting change by the combination of power and love. And when I first heard that, I thought, wow, how beautiful. And it's true, incrementally, in terms of mass culture and our mass consciousness, it's a beautiful thought that what we're moving toward is a world where we can merge the working towards the combination of power and love. But as I sat with that a little bit more, I started to think about what the definition of power means to our culture, to our mass consciousness here in the United States, but also globally. And that term power is rooted in a bartered relationship. If I have power, right, the way that we consider power to work in the world today is that I have to either be bigger and stronger than somebody else to exert my power, or if I'm in need of something, there's a bartering relationship where I'm taking something away from somebody else in order to gain power. And this is a belief that is ultimately going to, as a student of yoga, that's ultimately going to drive us further away from our oneness with the divine. Because anytime that we're looking at the ways in which we're being separated from the people around us, anytime that we are exerting energy in a way that's going to push us out and push us further away from our center, then we're losing that essence of the true spiritual teachings. We're losing the essence of where our power comes from. I was thinking about the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda and the path of self-realization, and how he is inviting us to revolutionize this definition or this identity of what power looks like. He's inviting us to understand that power sourced from outside, that power sourced from that bartering relationship where I have to take something in order to be bigger or stronger and more powerful than those around me, is not the true essence of power, but rather that power comes from within. And as I was reflecting on the words that I'd heard in this podcast, where this young woman was advocating for a future that was igniting change through the combination of power and love, I thought how close we are, and yet so far, from the true source of power, which is understanding that power, it's not the combination of power and love, but that power is sourced from love. That our power in the world, our ability to succeed and be strong and be successful in whatever ways we're trying to be successful in the world, it doesn't come from combining that need that's driving us outward, that bartering with love, but rather from acknowledging that you are love, that power is love. And when we love, when we share love, when we share joy and compassion in the world, when we take out and we eliminate any sense of separateness in the motivations that we have as we act and think and move through the world, we're tapping into our source of infinite power, because our power comes from God. Our power comes from living in love. Swami Kriyananda talks about the way that he experienced this power of love from his guru, and for most of us, from our guru, Yogananda. He talks about the way that Yogananda, you know, Yogananda has a bhakti spirit, meaning that the way that he relates to the world is through the heart. And there's a softness and a joy and a compassion in the way that he exchanges his energy with his disciples and with the people that he is teaching. But Swami Kriyananda is also very adamant to always explain to us the power of that relationship, the power of this guru. And a story that he tells is that Yogananda one night was giving a talk in this talk, he was discussing something that was a little bit of a political line. And he was talking about how the wealthy need to be helping the poor. And Yogananda actually named the names of some wealthy people and talked about how he felt they should be doing things differently. And that night, as Yogananda was walking home, one of his devotees said, "You shouldn't walk home alone. Some of the things you said might have rattled people." And Yogananda fearlessly walked forward and said that he was fine. And as he was walking home that night, a man actually confronted him and wanted to harm him. And Yogananda, it talks about how Yogananda, without any force, without any fear, without anything other than a centeredness in the divine, actually challenged this man to see his life differently, challenged this man to raise his own energy and his own consciousness simply through the act of love, asking him, "Why are you living your life this way?" And in that moment, the man was unable to do any harm. He changed his life completely, and he was able to turn away from some of the harmful ways and harmful actions that he was doing. And the story is so striking for each one of us because there was no sense of barterdom. There was no sense of I involved in that moment with this great yoga teacher, Paramahansa Yogananda. He was sourcing that power from within. He was sourcing that power directly from God. And in that reality, all that this other person could experience, all that this man experienced, was love. At the root of everything, there is only love. And when we tap into that flow of the divine, when we tap into that flow of divine love, then we don't have to be bigger and stronger than the people around us. Our power becomes limitless. In the books, Affirmations for Self-Healing, which is written by Swami Kriyananda, every week there's a different affirmation and there's a prayer and a little summary that goes along with that prayer and an affirmation. And I looked at the affirmation for power last night, and the very last line of the summary that comes before the affirmation talks about the power of the saints and how spiritual saints and sadhus, people of great spiritual magnetism, are extremely powerful. And the words that Swami Kriyananda gives us is, he says that their power is rooted in true love. Let me make sure it's so beautiful, I want to say it right. Their roots lie buried in the soil of true love. So he's talking about power, and he says the root of their power lies buried in the roots of true love. Isn't this such a beautiful thought for all of us to move forward with? As we're thinking and acting and moving through the world, Yogananda's told us that the highest prayer that we get, one of the highest prayers that we can pray is, I will reason, I will, and I will act. But guide thou my reason, will, and activity toward the highest good in all. What does it look like to move through the world rooted in true love, buried in the roots with the source of our power, the source of our compassion, rooted in true love, buried with the roots of true love. Looking at what this can mean for each one of us, Swami Kriyananda is a beautiful example of this in the world. I was thinking about the story when in 1976, there was one Ananda community. It was in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada Mountains in California. And this is where all of Ananda, today Ananda has spread around the world, and there are communities and meditation centers all over the world. But in 1976, there was one Ananda community. And at this time, a fire came through the village, the community where all of these devotees were living and serving together. And it destroyed practically everything. There was one building that was left standing, but most people lost everything that they had. And in an investigation of what started the fire, it was discovered that a faulty county vehicle had backfired, and that's what had started the fire. And so there was an opportunity for those people who had lost their homes in this fire to sue the county in order to get to gain some money back and hopefully rebuild what they had lost. And Swami Kriyananda made the decision not to pursue a lawsuit with the county. He told the county that we are not going to take from our neighbors, that rather we are going to find the strength from within to rebuild our community. And this is such a perfect example. It's a moment when power was being offered in the material world, right? Here is an opportunity where we could come together and say, I need to take this. This is now mine. I deserve this. This is my power. I'm going to take this money and rebuild. But Swami Kriyananda, instead, he looked at the nuance of the real sources of power. That power had come from outside. That money had been taken and a bartered system had been created. Perhaps the flow of Ananda in each one of the devotees, that inner strength and that inner fortitude in each one of the devotees that he was serving, in each one of the disciples of Yogananda that were working to rebuild this, perhaps that little seed would be ignited somewhere else, right? A little the idea of it being ignited, to come back to the activist that I was mentioning earlier, where she says we can ignite change through the combination of power and love. What is the subtle difference there between rather than the combination of power and love, but sourcing your power through love. Swami Kriyananda's decision to not sue the county, but to rather work from a dharmic place of rebuilding that community with love, with trust, with faith, with devotion in God. This has sourced a flow of energy that has created the magnetism of Ananda, because each individual is rooted in those same qualities. We are given that opportunity to raise our energy and to find God for each one of us in ourselves. So as we explore the role that power plays in the world, as we explore the opportunities that we have to move through the world and make decisions and work, let us look at what true power actually means. Let us always return to that source that is flowing through us in every moment. Let us always imagine what it means to live with the divine in true faith, in true cooperation, in true joy. To move through the world with our hearts wide open, knowing that our power is accomplished when we share love, not when we take, but when we give, when we serve, when we cooperate and harmonize with the people in our lives, with the experiences in our lives, as each one of us can lift our own consciousness. A wave of joy can spread throughout the world. And slowly we can revolutionize what this term power actually means, to have it sourced from within, from a position of harmony and love with the divine, rather than from us being sourced from without us. Power is taken from without us. If we take that power from somebody else, then it gets to be taken away from us as well. If my power lies, if my happiness lies, if my success lies in anything outside of me, then I have the opportunity to lose it. But if I can tap into that flow of true love, if I can find that source of power that exists from within, allowing the divine to act through me, to be the doer in everything that I do, to always give and share and find the motivation in pouring out my heart to others, then that love, that happiness, that true source of power can never be taken away from us.